The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be program. We've been talking about and asking the question, are things better for you than it was 1 year ago? So we'll continue here. We'll pick up in Matthew 7, where Christ was giving us some good advice. Matthew 7, beginning in verse 13, he said, "Enter in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it." Many in America realize that our path is wide and that it is leading to destruction of our nation. So which gate do you think that we have gone through? Christ said, "Wide is the gate that leads to destruction." And he said, "Many there are that find that way and travel that way." In verse 14, he continues, "Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. There is a way that seems right to mankind, but it ends in death, because it is the easy way." And that's what Christ said. He said, "Difficult is the way that leads to life, and narrow is that gate." In other words, he said, you have to search and seek for that gate that leads to eternal life. And it is a narrow path, and it is a difficult way. And Christ said, there are very few that find it in this world of Satan. Then Christ warns us to beware of false prophets or false ministers preaching a counterfeit religion, lying about the Word of God. Now, we don't want to go through the narrow gate, God's gate, because it is too difficult, but it leads to a good life. And Christ warns us about false ministers preaching a counterfeit religion. That counterfeit religion, lying, twisting, perverting, adding to, and taking away from truth, pure religion, began in the Garden of Eden by Satan, who is a liar and the father of it, and also the father of counterfeit religion, and who had deceived the whole world into following his lead of such. That's why we have so many ills in this world, is because we have followed Satan in a counterfeit religion. Matthew 7, verse 15, Christ continues, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." You know, Paul warned about that too. He said, Satan has his ministers, and he said, it's no great thing if his ministers transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, because he said, Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. And that's what Christ is warning us about here. Yes, false ministers that will look pious, that will look like they are religious, that will make you think that they are religious people really trying to obey God. Much of the time, what they want is your money and could care less about your spiritual condition or your well-being in other ways, as long as they get you to support them and follow them. My friends, I know we would like to think that Christ was speaking only of his day and not our day when he said many false ministers would rise. But the Bible tells us otherwise. Many of the apostles warned of false ministers. They had pagan and counterfeit religion in Noah's day. They had their false prophets. They also had their false pagan gods. Very few have wanted to obey and worship the true God, and it's still that way today. People follow the crowd. They don't want to stand out or be different. They fear what others will think and what others will say, when we should fear what God thinks and what God says about us. Noah, the only preacher of righteousness in his day at that time, just before the ark was built and during the building of the ark, feared for his life because he was the only one obeying the true God and preaching a warning and a repentance message outside of his father Lamech, which had gotten old and had kind of retired and just settled back. He was telling them to begin obeying and worshiping the only true God, but they sneered. There has been false prophets from the time of Adam and Eve right down to our day, and will be right up to the return of Jesus Christ. Satan likes to be worshipped, and that began in the Garden of Eden, when he deceived Eve into obeying him. Paul said, you are the servant of whom you obey. Now, if we obey Satan and his way, we are worshiping Satan, and that's what he got Adam and Eve to do, beginning with Eve first. Adam got on board just as soon as his wife offered him that forbidden fruit, which Satan had told Eve was good and would make her wise. Actually, he was telling her that it would make the whole human race wise, that the whole human race would be wise if they would only follow Satan instead of God. Well, are we? Where has our knowledge, our wisdom, led us? That is a gist of what Satan told Eve and deceived her into believing. That is when, where, and how problems for the human race began. And our problems will not begin to dissipate until we change from Satan's way of get to God's way of give. You can take that statement to the bank, my friend, because it is a true statement, and it will not happen. Our problems and your personal problems will not begin to go away until you turn from Satan's way of get to God's way of give. In Matthew 7, verse 16, Christ continues here, you will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? God's word and his spirit bears good fruit, a life of well-being, if obeyed, for everyone. Verse 17, even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. What kind of fruit do we see? Is it good or is it evil? Is it bad fruit? He goes on here in verse 18, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Now, if good seed was being sown, if the fruit was coming from a good tree, all would be well. Yes, if the fruit of our doings came from the tree of life, God's way of life, through and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we would have a good world to live in. But he says, a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. I ask again, what do we see? Do we see good fruits or do we see bad and evil fruits? Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Yes, bad fruit from bad trees, including the bad trees themselves, are headed for destruction. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. Now, that's the way that God knows you and me. That's how he rewards us in this life and in the life to come. If you are bearing good fruit, you are better off. Yes, things are better for you than they were 1 year ago. Now, you need to think about that, my friend. If you are bearing good fruit, if you're bearing fruits from the tree of life that God told Adam and Eve to partake of, then things are better for you. And if you aren't, if you began to do that, then things will get better for you because you're turning to God's way of life. And it's God's way that brings peace and joy and health and happiness and contentment and every well-being that mankind wants. Well, the teaching, the child-rearing of Adam and Eve bore much bad fruit. Their firstborn son became a murderer, a liar, and very selfish, even toward God, very greedy as well. The first man to be so jealous of his brother that he killed him from the bad fruit which Satan began to sow in the Garden of Eden. To the first human family on earth, yes, it bore much bad fruit to the first human family on earth. The first bad fruit caused a lot of damage to the human family of Adam and Eve and to the whole human race. Because you see, the world as a whole has never turned away from that bad fruit. We have never turned to the tree that bears good fruit, God's way. That bad fruit began to multiply, kind of slowly at first, but as the human family began to grow, so did the bad fruit from the human family grow as well. And within less than 1,700 years, there was nothing but bad fruit, bad seed sown, that was bearing so much bad fruit that God had to put a stop to it, at least temporarily, by a worldwide flood. Because man came to the point, life was about to come to an end. They would have no doubt annihilated all human life from the earth somehow, some way, if God hadn't intervened. Perhaps by war, by sickness, by wickedness, by disease, by famine, and bad weather, no doubt that God had been sending, passing judgment on them, hoping to turn them from their wicked ways. That's happening today, my friends, as well. They didn't turn, and so far we haven't turned. No one would listen. Things were continuing to get worse, and there were those preaching a counterfeit religion that everything was getting better, and you don't need to change your ways. We will solve all of our problems. Just give us a little more time. Now, isn't that pretty well describing our thinking today? Indeed it is. And that's one way that I know their thinking and actions in the days of Noah. Notice what Christ said in Matthew 24 and verse 3. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" The disciples asked Christ, how would we know when his second coming would be drawing near? Verse 4, Christ continues here to answer the question. Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you." You know, Christ and the apostles were always warning us to be careful about whom we believe and whom we follow, because they were always telling us that many deceivers have gone out. Christ said, "Let no one deceive you." Now, Christ didn't just say counterfeit religious ministers or their religious organizations. It does include that, and perhaps that is more of what he meant, but it does include other things as well. It would include politicians, government, and or anyone else, and of course, Satan himself. In other words, be careful as to whom you trust and believe. You know, God tells us in one place in the Old Testament, he said, "Put not your trust in man." Then in verse 5 of Matthew 24, "For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many." Notice that, my friends, Christ didn't say that a few would come in his name, just one here and there. He said many will come in his name and will deceive many. Christ said many would come in his name, bringing a message about Christ, not necessarily the message of Christ to obey God the Father, a message of repentance and walking in newness of life, becoming a new creature in Christ, putting on the mind attitude of Christ and building his character of obedience to the Word of God, a character of only living like a Christian life. Christ did not say they would come preaching the truth, but a deception, a counterfeit religion, a false religion based on Satan's lies and traditions of men. We need to wake up, my friends, and listen to what people are telling us out there and prove one way or the other if they're false ministers, false people, or if they're God's true servants. He said that's what they would be doing, preaching a false religion, meaning a message of grace and no works. Oh, they will tell you to go to church on Sunday, keep Easter and Christmas, and maybe even Halloween, which are all pagan, false, counterfeit, idolatrous, religious practices. But this so-called Christian nation and all other nations have swallowed all these pagan counterfeit religions and ignored the truth that is so plain in the Word of God if you want to know and live by the Word of God. Well, my time is up. We'll pick this up in our next program. In the meantime, if you'd like to understand true and pure religion, if you'd like to understand God's Word, we have a couple of booklets that you should read. Why were you born? You need to know that, my friend. You need to know the answer to that question. Why were you born? Do you know, if someone would ask you, or if you'd ask someone else, could they give you the answer? Could you give them the answer? This booklet will help you to understand why you were born, and born for a purpose. You need to know why you were born and where you're going and how to get there. Call us, the Marble Hill Church of God, at 573-238-3675, or go online, www.thewayitoughttobe.org, or email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. This is Pete Hornbuckle on behalf of the Marble Hill Church of God. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for listening to Pete Hornbuckle and the Way It Ought to Be program, presented by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, located on County Road 300, one block north of the Cat Ranch in Marble Hill, meeting Saturday, the Sabbath, at 2 p.m. You can listen to our previously recorded broadcasts or order free literature on our website at www.thewayitoughttobe.org, or call us at 573-238-3675, or email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.